This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Gas House Gang is coming up at 12 o'clock. And after City... It's fun, isn't it?
Yes.
After City SC relieved their head coach, Olaf Melberg, we are going to talk to Taylor Twellman, St. Louisan, and soccer analyst. He's going to be with us at 12:30. Tom Ackerman and me. Again, that's from 12 to 1 until 12 to 1 today for the Gas House Gang. It is time to go to the guest line today. And the founder of the St. Louis Hero Network is Charlie Metzner, who is joining us now because Brian McKenna Day is coming up in a couple of days on the 31st. And Brian was a huge supporter of the network, which is a nonprofit that supports first responders and military families by promoting their businesses here in St. Louis. And Charlie Metzner is with us on KMOX. Charlie, we appreciate your time today. How are you?
Good morning. Still morning, right? Yep. Good morning.
I do that every day. When I've been up for a few hours, I just assume it's the afternoon. So this event, which is coming up here, I know that for Brian McKenna, would have been a very big deal, right? I mean, this is a day for him, but to do anything to support the St. Louis Hero Network, he was in on that.
Yeah, he was there by our side as our brand ambassador, and by connecting our first responders and veterans to their community and allowing our community to support them and their family. He was an intricate part of helping us do that and carrying on our mission and raising funds for first responders and veterans, even in their darkest times. We miss them greatly.
Yeah, Charlie, I haven't seen you since January, but it's good to visit with you again.
I appreciate everything you did, Mike. I really do.
Well, thank you. And it's good to... it's good to know that you guys are doing so well. And Brian, talk a little bit about Brian, though. His philanthropic spirit was just unbelievable. And what a great loss to the community.
Right. I mean, he was an exceptional legend of St. Louis, especially in the South County and more recently in the St. Louis South City area in St. Louis Hills, where he resided for the last several years. I mean, he was everybody's friend. He was one of my best buddies, but everyone would call Brian a friend because he treated everybody like he was their best friend, and he was very special. You know, I was talking to one of his family members the other day, and I was like, when somebody gets to like a platform, you know, Brian, everybody knew Brian, right? Everybody, he had this big platform. Everybody, you know, loved him, and you know, he did so many great things for the community. Usually when you build a platform like that and you get all this visibility and people know who you are, you're going to have detractors or maybe even haters. Everybody loved Brian McKenna because of what a person he was and how he made every person he came across feel.
Charlie, the big day is happening Saturday. It gets started at 2 o'clock. It goes from 2 until 7. Macklin's going to be closed between Devonshire and Nottingham, and that's where this event is going to be. Do you want to tell people more about what they can expect if they come out to this event?
Oh, it's going to be epic. I mean, one thing I wouldn't do so I don't forget, ride share. It's obviously, this is like city blocks. You know, there's no parking lots. I expect hundreds, if not thousands of people to show up because of what kind of a person Brian was. But yes, it's four blocks of just Vivaldi, live music. There's going to be vendors there. You know, that's where they have Macklin Day. So there's tons of bars and restaurants. Some of his favorites, like, you know, the Mac, our stands that, you know, him and I would even visit, you know, very frequently. I mean, hung out at Playboy Solis and TJ Twigs and be part of it. Cyberg stepped in. I mean, it's going to be just a great day just to celebrate a life of somebody very special to this community.
Man, and there's so much cool stuff here. You got the Fix Newton Band. They play 80s and 90s stuff. They're going to be entertaining everybody. J.C. Corcoran's going to be the MC. I mean, I think this might be one of the coolest events in town.
What I like to see is it become an annual event. I mean, there's nobody that I would like to see like that to have a event annually named after them. I mean, if you didn't like Brian, here's what I'd say about Brian. If you didn't like Brian, there's probably something wrong with you.
But I'll tell you what, I met Brian a couple of times over the years. One time when I was an intern, and then one time here in the station about a year ago. And the guy was just, I'll never forget my interaction with him. Just as an intern, we were covering one event together, and it was the only time at that time I had been around him. And he was just so nice and kind of, and I didn't know what I was doing, so he sort of, you know, helped me through the event and just really a wonderful guy. And everybody who knew him well, just like you, Charlie, talked about how great he was.
Well, it's so funny you bring that up, because I've been given examples to many people who are in TV and radio, and where Brian, they told me stories where Brian made them feel comfortable, took them under the wing, said, you know, don't worry about it. We got this. Positivity and, you know, optimism was Brian's middle name. It was never about Brian. It was always about someone else. If he was having a bad day, he would never show it and always be totally into what you're doing and totally worried about how you're feeling.
Well, it was over 25 years ago, and I still remember it. You know, it's just one of those things right. Where I never forgot that, and it was maybe a couple of hours, and that's it.
Yeah, that's
right. I've heard that from Annie Banker and a couple other people. I'm trying to remember their names off the top of my head, but different sports people brought their name up to me. Vic Faust brought his name up.
Oh, yeah.
Same thing.
What a legacy. What a legacy that is. Tell me about the Hero Network. It's a really unique concept. I think you may be the first one in the country to kind of put this together. Tell us what you do and how people can access it.
So it's a marketplace for first responders and veterans to promote their businesses. We currently have 215 first responder and veteran-owned businesses here locally in St. Louis. So I don't want to say it's like this, but for layman's terms, it's like, say, using Angie or Home Advisor, but only using first responder and veteran-owned businesses to support them and their families, whether it be while they're still active or retired. You know, it's a way to help the families of people who support, who protect and watch over our community.
And the variety of services and businesses. I mean, everything from accounting to roofing to, you know, drywall.
Mike, I got a hand to you. You always pull out the best things out of me. Yes, it has. It has like financial advisors. It has, you know, from painters to car mechanics to anything and everything you can think of. It's a business a first responder or veteran could have. It can be on there.
The website for this is stlheronetwork.com. If you want more information on St. Louis Hero Network. And again, Brian McKenna Day happens on Saturday, gets started at 2:00, goes until 7:00. Then there's an after party at the Mac. There's going to be a DJ there, but there's food. There will be, as John mentioned, a band playing. The Fix Newton Band will be playing there. It's free to go, but, right, I want to make sure I've got this right. Your people cannot bring coolers, right? So you can't bring your own booze or whatever.
You can't bring your own booze, but, yeah, I mean, it's going to be a great day. I mean, I don't know exactly, and this is all about the family and what the family decides to do, but Brian wrote this to a T about how he wanted this to go. So he knew he'd been battling cancer for years. Like I said, he never made that anybody else's concern, but he knew that there might be a time when he would have some final wishes he wanted to do. And he didn't want a funeral. He didn't want a big, you know, he didn't want anybody to be sad that he was gone. He wanted a party, and he wanted this party almost verbatim the way we're putting it on, I should say, is his friends and family are putting it on for everyone for McKenna Day on this Saturday between 2 and 7.
Well, Charlie, enjoy yourself there, and thank you for all the good work you're doing here in St. Louis. We really appreciate you being with us today, and again, Saturday at 2 until 7 o'clock on Macklin between Devonshire and Nottingham. That'll be a fun time. Thank you, Charlie.
Four blocks of fun. Thank you.
That is Charlie Metzner, the founder of the St. Louis Hero Network. Got John Hancock with me here on KMOX. In for Amy Marks Kors, I'm Chris Ranji. Debbie Monterey joins us from the newsroom because she went through a bunch of mail of other people. At least that's the way I understand it. Or maybe something different happened. Something different happened. Debbie's got a really great story, and I can't wait for her to tell you about it when we come back on KMOX.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
All right, so when Debbie Monterey from the KMOX newsroom was driving into work today.
The early bird. Out getting the worm.
Hi, my mic's not.
Was it yesterday?
It was yesterday. It was yesterday.
When you drove into work. There was mail on the street, like just
everywhere.
So the post office dropped a bunch of mail on the street.
I'm going to assume. Okay. So for people who are trying to picture this, I'm driving down 14th toward Enterprise Center, and right at 14th and Clark, there are always a ton of mail trucks because the headquarters is just
right there
on the other side of Enterprise Center.
I think all of our mail goes through there.
Right.
At some point.
Yeah. And so usually at that hour of the day, the only people on the road are me, mail trucks, and drunks coming home from the bars.
Yeah.
That's it.
And I'm usually, you know, I'm not asleep, but you know, it's 4 a.m, so I'm just driving in, you know how you do. And I get towards the light, and I'm like, what is it? At first I thought maybe somebody knocked over a garbage can, but then I realized this is mail. And as I started looking around, there was tons of it. And those bins, those sort of kind of white
Corrugated
bins that they use for the mail. There were a couple of them smashed in the street and just some piles, like pretty significant piles, and then just mail scattered everywhere. So I just stopped my car because there's nobody else on the road, and I just started videotaping it. And then I didn't know what to do because obviously you can't call the post office at 4 a.m. No one's answering the phone. So I called 911 and no one answered the phone. I thought, I don't know if I should call the police, but somebody needs to get this mail off the street and it's not my job. What am I going to do? So anyway, I tried 911 a couple times, and then I tried the non-emergency number when I got to the newsroom, and then I was trying to find a number for the post office, but then fortunately Frank Ladd came in a couple minutes later and he said, oh, they're cleaning up a bunch of mail in the street, and I thought, oh good, okay. Somebody's cleaning it up, thank goodness, because it just disturbed me to see all that mail sitting in the road.
And are you, this is a question that maybe we should get to the bottom of. Do you know if you're allowed to touch mail that's not yours? Is it a federal offense to clean it up if it's left on the street?
Probably. I mean, it's not in somebody's mailbox, right? So it's
maybe
the street.
Here's my question. So was it,
did it fall off the truck?
Outgoing mail that was all the same, or was it incoming mail that was different?
It looked like a variety. It didn't look like one uniform type of mail. But it was, yeah, some of it was in piles. Like some of it had just fallen out of a box. And then some of it was just scattered everywhere. So, I don't know how many, but I would say hundreds of pieces of mail.
So we haven't gotten to the bottom of how that happened, why it happened. Did it fall off a truck? Was a door left open?
I called the post office, and the person who answered said, had no idea what I was talking about. I said, hello. I'm calling because there was a bunch of mail in the middle of the street on 14th and Clark, and I'm calling to find out why. And she said, what? And I said, this morning, about 4 a.m., there was a bunch of mail in the middle of the street, and your people came and picked it up, but I'm just trying to find out what happened. And she said, I'll have to call our corporate office and have someone call
back. The post office has got a office.
Yeah, the corporate office is going to know, sure. And then I never heard back.
So is it possible that this is like that person who was delivering for Amazon and didn't want to finish the route and just threw all the packages down a ravine?
I don't think...
About a year or two ago?
I don't think so, because...
On the East Coast?
It seemed like it was probably... My theory, and what I'm guessing here, is that it probably fell off a truck, because it didn't look like stuff that was being delivered by a postal carrier. It looked like stuff that was right. getting trucked
yeah,
somewhere
so
else.
Yeah, so it was a truck of mail. Now, here's the thing. I do know something about mail, because in politics, we send a lot of mail out. So when you do a bulk mail package, they've got to be bundled in a certain number, the same zip code, and then you put them into bags usually, and you tag them. So it could have been somebody dropping off mail that it fell off of. That wasn't may not necessarily have been the post office itself that lost the mail. It could have been somebody who was delivering mail to the post office.
Yeah, that is possible.
It's possible.
The post office only gave a statement. Like, later, Rennie Knott from Channel 5, I posted it on my Facebook page, and he's like, could we use that video? Because we're radio, so I didn't have anything that I could do with right. this video until I got something back from a statement from the Postal Service, right? Because right. otherwise it's like, hey, my news story is I found some mail in the street. So I said, sure, go ahead and use it. And so they eventually, I guess yesterday afternoon, got a statement that said... something along the not explaining what happened, but just saying it's our intention to get every piece of mail to, you know, where it goes, blah, blah, blah.
Can I blame the fact that I've not done my taxes yet on this?
Sure.
That's actually not true. I did. I did do my taxes. I did them on time, too.
Good for you.
And I unfortunately did mine, too, and I owed everybody a lot of money, and yep. it was very depressing.
It's
very
awful. Depressing. I'm going to say this. I still have the most faith in the Postal Service. I think the fact that we have the Postal Service is incredible.
I'm a fan.
I'm a huge fan.
I am not a person who rips on the post office, although the service has declined, but I don't necessarily blame them. I blame the way it's being run at the top, and I do have my conspiracy theory is that they're purposely making it look bad so that they can privatize it, which I am opposed to.
I think that's exactly what they would like to do.
My dear elderly mother, while she was still living on her own, was befriended by the mailman, Dennis. And Dennis would stop by and visit with her and cure her loneliness. When she was hospitalized, he came and visited. He came to the funeral. So I'm a big fan of the post office.
Same.
Thanks, Dennis.
I love the post office.
And no, not to rip on UPS because I love them, but I had to go to the UPS store yesterday to drop some stuff off, and my daughter had inadvertently ordered something from Old Navy and shipped it to me instead of to her and in Chicago. So I went to the UPS store to say, hey, I need to forward this. It was $16 to send a tiny little package. But yeah, I thought that is outrageous. I could have sent it for much cheaper with the Postal Service.
Most of the problems I've had with any sort of delivery have either been UPS or FedEx. I rarely have problems with the post office.
Yeah,
rarely.
I generally don't either, although I know people love to rip on the Postal Service. But yes, it was disturbing when I came upon all of that mail because... I don't know, there's something sacred about the mail, you know? Like, nobody should mess with your mail.
You give them 75 cents and they take a letter across the country for you in 3 days.
Is it 75 cents now?
Yeah, it's like 71, 72.
I don't either. I buy the forever stamps.
Well, I think that's the only thing you can buy now.
That's probably right.
Yeah, which is handy, but also kind of, you know, secretly evil because you never know how much you're paying. I just go into the post office and I go, what cute stamps do you have this time?
73 cents.
Oh, 73 okay.
cents.
You give the post office 73 cents to take an envelope across the country, and they'll get it there in 3 days.
You can't even get a drink for that. A Coke.
Right.
Can't get anything for that.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for getting to the bottom of this.
Less.
I didn't really get to the bottom of it. It's still a mystery.
I think it's hilarious, though. I think it's pretty funny. It's like, there's my mail.
There are like 3,000 views of my video on my page, and I have no idea. Channel 5 posted it. I'm sure it has a ton more. And then I just got a note from Fox 2. Could we use your video? So it's a 15-second video that...
It's a mystery.
I wish I was getting paid for every view.
It's an absolute mystery.
Well, thank you, Debbie.
You're welcome.
You're doing the Lord's work.
Oh, thank you. You know, at 4 a.m, you see a lot of really interesting things and when you're driving in.
You know, I know a couple of postal carriers. I'm gonna ask them what happened.
You've got mail.
That's different.
Yes.
That's the dial-up.
Yes.
Remember the dial-up?
Oh, I did. I had it. The AOL.
You had to unplug the phone. You had to plug it into the computer.
Yeah, yeah.
It was the worst.
You ever try explaining that to kids?
No.
They just look at you like you're crazy. Yeah.
I explain nothing to children. Debbie Monterey from the KMOX Newsroom. You're the best.
Thank you. Should I leave now or wait to go to a break?
You can
hang out as long as you want to. Hey, how do you feel about honking at cars in front of you when they don't drive away when the light turns green?
I am not much of a honker, to be honest, but it does annoy me because if you're at the front of the line, you have a duty to everyone behind you.
Yes, thank you. Yes.
So,
thank
but you. I'm not real aggressive. I just give them a little like, eh, like I try to be hard to polite do, about it.
Hard to do that because you can't get sound a lot of times. You know, when you try and hit the light tap, nothing comes out.
Yeah.
And
but I don't want to lay on the horn because that can scare somebody. So I just kind of give them like an eh.
My contention is you should have two different horn sensitivities on your steering wheel.
Yeah.
One, if somebody's about to run into you, T-bone, you know, and one, if somebody's not going into, you know, I suggested the beep, beep, and like the roadrunner.
Like the lady on Ladue Road who pulled right in front of me and I almost T-boned her that when I laid on the horn.
Well, that's what it's there for.
Every ounce of strength that I had.
We have a texter who says, I agree. Somebody sitting at a green light playing on their phone, I will lay on the horn. And I agree with that. And this other one says, I am an avid honker. Just last week, I was about five cars back and the light was green for a good 4 seconds. Sidebar, that's an eternity. One Mississippi, two Mississippi, three Mississippi. That's a long time to not know the light is green.
Yeah. Front of the line, so, you have a duty.
You do. So I honked and the guy in front of me gave me the finger. How that guy assumed the honk was for him is beyond me. People in this city are too sensitive. I agree. That's a pass it forward honk.
Honk.
I was six cars back today on King's Highway. I honked and the guy looked at me like, dude, it's a pass it forward honk. Pass it forward to the people in front. Debbie, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Debbie.
Debbie Monterey. John Hancock is here. I'm Chris Ranji. When we come back, we are going to talk to Nate Gatter. City SC has dismissed head coach Olaf Melberg, and we'll get Nate's take next on KMOX.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Just under the crossbar, and that'll do it. 1-0 the final. Colorado Rapids in Commerce City, Colorado defeat St. Louis City. Final score 1-0.
What are you doing, the sad music?
That's a Masters, isn't
it? It has been. I think it is. City SC. They have not, in an MLS game, won since the game against
2020.
No, I was in March. It's been a while. Game against Seattle back in March. It's been a rough go for our soccer team. And you've heard our next guest on soccer coverage on KMOX here on the Soccer Reports, Nate Gatter. You've also heard him on this show before. He fills in quite a bit. Nate Gatter is with us on KMOX. How's it going, Nate?
It's all right, Chris. How are you?
So I don't think I'm okay. I don't think this is really a surprise. We've been talking about this possibility for a while now, that something was going to have to change. And other than that Open Cup game that they won a couple of weeks ago, against Omaha, they haven't won a game and they're losing late leads. So something was wrong. Was it Olaf? Was he the problem?
I think it's hard to establish causality easily in any professional sport, but certainly Olaf has not been part of the solution at the very least. And I think it's fair to say he's at least a part of the problem, if not the primary problem, considering things were getting worse under him. Rather than better, and he had been given quite a long leash in order to try to solve the issues that they were having. And, you know, obviously it's not a happy day anytime someone loses their job, especially, as you have often noted, Chris, someone so handsome as Olaf Melberg. Mm. But at the same time, I think it was time. And, you know, this is professional sports is a results business. He understood that when he got into this line of work and when he took this job, and he delivered terrible, terrible results for a relatively long stretch of time. And City, if they're going to save this season, needed to do something. And frankly, if they're going to save other people's jobs, they probably need solutions over the next few months, certainly going into next season, or we're going to start to see additional carnage.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm less acquainted with soccer than I am other professional sports, but is it a thing in soccer? Can you lose the clubhouse like a baseball manager can? Might that be something that was happening here?
You certainly can. And on top of that, I think as compared to most American sports, it's not unusual to have higher level of turnover. I mean, the typical MLS head coach is only going to last probably a couple of years. So City are not that far off that average. It hasn't been great, but for an expansion team, you know, I think saying that they're looking for their fourth head coach now already, or they're on their fourth head coach, is a little bit of an unnecessary exaggeration. The interims don't really count in my mind. Bradley Carnell lasted a year and a half, probably should have lasted longer. At the time, I felt like he was getting scapegoated for a variety of issues, chiefly the lack of spending to flesh out the rest of the roster. And I think there's some evidence to that effect now with the fact that he has gone to Philadelphia and managed to find some success there in a sort of a comparable money ball environment, if you will, a place where they've tended to do more with less in MLS for quite a while. And meanwhile, in St. Louis, we haven't been able to find that right fit. Now, John Hackworth had some success as the interim last year. There has been some, I don't know if you'd say reports or just rumors, that he potentially wasn't all that interested in getting the job on a full-time basis, that he sees his future in more of a front office executive capacity, and that could be part of the reason, along with just avoiding the jokes and the memes, that City didn't make him the interim again for the second straight midseason coaching change, and instead they're going to go with David Critchley, who's been there since the beginning in the academy. But certainly I think it's possible. That was one of the things, John, that was talked about when Bradley Carnell lost his job, was that there were some questions as to how he was viewed in the locker room. That was kind of exacerbated by some of the outgoing departures and maybe some of the things that they did or didn't say about him, and the apparent kind of coming together disagreement that he and Klaus had after full-time in Philadelphia when they faced each other. So I think it's fair to say that can happen, and it might have been part of the reason that Bradley Carnell was pushed out a little bit earlier than I thought the results dictated. It could be part of the reason here, although I think it's harder to say that just because the results have been so poor that it's really difficult to need to look even beyond the field at all to find a problem, because the field had plenty of them.
How much of this issue with City, because it's not all coaching, obviously, and like you said, he's not been part of the solution. Well, how much of it really is the roster? Because we have talked before about the investment in the roster, which really hasn't been there. At least it doesn't seem so in proportion to the way people in this city have supported that team, sellouts all the time, that it just doesn't seem like the payroll is in proportion to that. Maybe I don't know enough about it, but is that part of the problem?
Definitely. I mean, injuries have been part of the story this year. They were part of the story last year. Everybody has injuries. It's true that City have endured a lot this season. Obviously, on top of that, Edward Leuven has had extended absences. That's not explicitly related to injury, but it's sort of in the same bucket. And those kinds of things are unpredictable, and they're not really anybody's fault, or at least certainly they're not the fault of the head coach or the fault of any of the front office brain trust in particular. My concern, and you know, you're trying to get me in trouble again going down this road, because I got myself into, you know, some hot water a couple of years ago. But my contention has been since the very first season in MLS that the investment in the team was disproportionately poor relative to the demands financially that were being placed on the fan base and how the fan base was reacting to or stepping up to those financial requests, if you will. City have been dependably in the bottom two or three in roster spending. It's hurt them in terms of depth. It's also really hurt them in terms of top line quality. For extended periods, they didn't play with the maximum number of designated players allowed, essentially not bringing in the maximum number of star players who don't count against the cap that they could have. I think that was a source of frustration for people. And I got a lot of blowback when I said that at the time, I think because people felt like, oh, we're so glad to have a team. They invested so much in building the stadium, all of that kind of stuff. They didn't want to be critical of ownership, and that's understandable. But I think this club has skated by on starting with five straight wins for a long time.
Yeah.
If they had won only two or three of those games, you're looking at a good but not top of the Western Conference inaugural season, married with a first-round playoff departure and nothing but lousy play over the year and a half since then. And I think the narrative that is now starting to change would have changed a lot earlier. To me, I understand that they paid for the stadium and they paid for the expansion fee, but those are part of the deal. That doesn't mean you don't have to pay anything else. And the bottom line is, this has been an extraordinarily well-supported club, selling out game after game after game, and the supporters are paying season ticket prices that are among the highest in the league while seeing a roster that is among the lowest paid in the league. And at some point, either Lutz Pfannenstiel has to answer for the fact that he hasn't been able to build the roster that he claimed he was going to be able to as efficiently as he thought he was going to be able to, or they have to start spending more money, or both. So that accountability lands right now on a second head coach in as many years. Next, it lands on Lutz Pfannenstiel, who is going to be allowed probably this head coaching hire, and I imagine no more if this one doesn't work out. And then beyond that, it will ultimately fall on Carolyn Kindle and ownership, because it will be clear then that through a number of different head coaches, through a lot of roster turnover, they haven't been able to make the changes that are required. So either it's finding somebody, both on the touchline and in the front office, who has more MLS experience and more American soccer experience and getting results that way, or it's investing more money, or it's a combination of those two things. Because look, teams do this when they come into MLS, and they have people running things who don't necessarily know the sport, or at least don't know the intricacies of it, because MLS is a complicated, unique league in how the travel works and the Americanness of it all, but most importantly in how the roster building works, how the finances work with the salary caps and the million different player classifications and all the different types of funds that get moved around. It's very difficult, and there are a lot of intricacies that take time to learn. Look at a recent expansion team like FC Cincinnati, who cycled through European leadership, European coaches, until they eventually settled on two Americans, Chris Albright and Pat Noonan, a St. Louisan, as their general manager and head coach, respectively, both of whom had significant MLS experience, understood what it was going to take, not only on the field, but in roster building, how to take advantage of, or at least not get tripped up by, the roster intricacies that exist in Major League Soccer. And I think that would be the next step. City maybe are not there yet. I think it seems like Lutz Pfannenstiel is going to get one more chance to try to get this right. But I think the next step after that would be that Carolyn Kindle has to try something else. And that's either spending money, or it's bringing in somebody who has proven that they understand how it works in MLS, not in Europe.
I think I know this. This is the final year of Roman Berkey's contract, the goalkeeper. What's the likelihood of the team re-signing him, or the likelihood of him taking a walk?
It's a good question. I think a lot of it will probably depend on how the remainder of this season goes. Because, you know, my understanding has always been that Roman Berkey wanted to be here in MLS, and that he was excited about being part of this project at St. Louis City. I think if he, at the end of the year, is encouraged by the direction of the project, feels good about the direction of the team, likes whoever this new head coaching hire is that they might eventually make, I think all of those things could contribute to him staying. There's no question that if he wanted to go back to Europe, he has proven his quality in his three seasons here such that he could go back to Europe and he could make more money, whether that's as a backup goalkeeper at a really big club, as a starter at a mid-tier club. But those options were more or less on the table for him when he came here. He did not come to St. Louis because it was the place where he could make the absolute most money globally. He thought that this was the right fit for him, and it was what he wanted for the next step in his career. Has he scratched the American itch after 3 years, and he's thinking, you know, I could go for getting back in Europe and potentially making more money, playing on a bigger stage, whatever that might be? I think it's very possible, especially because you don't want a dysfunctional club that's trying to sell a guy on taking less money than he could get somewhere else. So at this point, I would guess it's probably 50-50 at best for City that they can keep him. But I think it's very possible that that those odds could be improved, because I think Roman Berkey, especially when things are going well here, has seemed very happy to be here. And even when things have not been going well, he's been one of the most frequent voices who has stepped up and had those difficult leadership conversations that City at times have needed him to have, including publicly, right? He's been probably the most likely City player over these 3 years to step up in a press conference and say, this is not at the level it needs to be, and guys need to play better. This isn't about coaching. It isn't about roster. Our guys just need to play harder and play better. And he is somebody who, with a ton of experience, including at the top levels of the sport, who the dressing room can look to for that sort of criticism. He is, in many ways, beyond being refuted by anyone in that dressing room. And as a result, his voice carries a lot of weight. So hopefully, that's a long way to say I don't know, but hopefully City can get this moving in a direction by the end of the season that encourages Roman Berkey to invest himself yet again in the project.
All right. Lastly, before we say goodbye here, you said or you used the term earlier, the salvage the season or save the season. What would that look like?
I think it has to still look like making the playoffs because now they're out of open cup. So one of the ways they could have done that is trying to make a run at winning the U.S. Open Cup because that's a way to get yourself some kind of trophy out of the season, have a high point, and you know there can be value for that. But I don't see any way, no matter what they do the rest of the season, and it's not likely that they're able to salvage some kind of push for the playoffs, right? They're 8 points adrift now. That's not insurmountable by any stretch, but they would need to play dramatically better than they have, you know, not even at a point per game pace. They're only at about a 7/10 of a point per game pace so far this year. That is not going to get it done. But when the owner of the team comes out in a headline in the offseason in big, bold type and says, we're making the playoffs this year, it's tough to say anything but that isn't a failure. Right? I don't see any way around it. Just because they played really bad the first half of the season, if they play kind of better the second half, but they still can't even finish in the top half of the conference and can't fulfill the owner's sweeping mandate and guarantee to make the playoffs that year, I think you still have to label the season a failure no matter what. That's sort of unfair to David Critchley because he's inheriting a less than ideal situation, obviously, and a team that has really, really struggled. But maybe they can get a little new coach boost from him and get a win or two and all of a sudden put themselves in a situation where chasing down those 8 or 9 spots seems a little more realistic. But to me, Chris, it still has to be playoffs or it's a failure. That doesn't mean Coach Critchley can't do anything to make himself a more compelling candidate for the full-time job. It doesn't mean nothing good can happen without making the playoffs. But I think the season overall would still have to be labeled a failure if they can't find a way into that top 9.
Well, let's hope Critchley knows best.
Okay. Oh, it doesn't matter if maybe he'll get pardoned. Hey, Nate Gatter, you're the best. Thank you, dude.
Appreciate you, man.
That is Nate Gatter.
Do you like that, Ron?
I no. Yes, I did. I like everything you do. For the most part.
Yeah, for the most part.
For the most part. John Hancock is hanging out with me for a bit longer. Gas House Gang is coming up at 12 o'clock. Tom Ackerman and me. Taylor Twellman is going to join the show at 12:30. That sounds like a perfect time for him, isn't it? Taylor Twellman at 12:30. He's going to be with us. We'll talk about what happened with City SC. We're going to talk Cardinals, too, because they have a chance to win the series tonight.
Indeed.
In Baltimore. It's the Chris and Amy Show on KMOX.
Going for the one.
Who is this?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, I know that's going to be one of two. It's either Scott Joplin or yes. Anytime. It's
one or the other, yeah.
When it comes to you. John Hancock and Chris Ranji on KMOX. A few more moments to go here on the show. And then Gas House Gang gets started with our guy, Tom Ackerman. And Taylor Twellman is going to join the show.
So you're going to talk a little soccer, too.
Yeah, we're going to talk a little ball.
Nice.
Is that the cool way to say soccer? Footy. We're going to talk a little footy.
All right. How's the Doppler looking over Baltimore right now?
Oh, I haven't looked in a while.
Not looking promising.
Yeah. We talked to John Rooney, who informed us, and I had no idea because I've not been paying attention to the weather in Baltimore, but he said it's dicey tonight.
Yeah. It was a little iffy last night, but they got the game in. They had some rain during the game, but they got it in.
Yeah, I guess we'll see.
Yeah, we'll find out.
Yeah, because maybe there's a game tomorrow afternoon instead, but we'll see. I'm going to assume that tonight at 4:40 there will be a... Look, we're going on as scheduled. Let's pretend like
absolutely.
Nothing has changed.
Absolutely.
4:40 pregame show, 5:35 first pitch.
There it is.
I think that's perfectly fine.
Miles Michaelis on the mound for the Redbirds.
That's right, he is. Text messages to 314-436-7900. This texter says the Chevy Volt has two horns on its car. Regular is in the center of the wheel. Yeah. Then there's a quieter one that is a push button.
Brilliant. I could have patented that. I guess it's already patented.
So is that the That's just a, hey, yeah, buddy.
Exactly. The light's green. You want. A green light, that's what you want.
It's a little softer.
Yeah. That's okay. The way it should be.
This message says, the fact the guy in front of you had not honked already goes to show he wasn't paying attention either. Hmm. That honk was technically for both of them.
Now, while we're on the subject, I've had a situation where you may be five cars back, and the first two cars go when the light turns green.
Yeah.
And the third guy is just sitting there in the middle of the thing. That's very frustrating.
I don't. 'Cause
how do you not pick up the movement of the cars in front of you?
Are you talking about blocking the intersection?
No, it's just sitting there oblivious.
Oh, just oblivious.
The third guy in line. The first two guys go off as they're supposed to, and the third guy's sitting there.
Well, so it's similar to that. Maybe more maddening is when people, you're supposed to judge whether or not you can get through the intersection. Just because you have the green light does not mean automatically go. So you have to judge, can I clear the intersection? If I can't, then you have to stay where you
are.
If
there's a big line of traffic. And
Some people will just go, and then the light turns red. Yep. Then they're stuck in the middle of the intersection, and then people in the cross traffic can't go.
I'm a bad driver, but I stop at the line if there's still people out in the intersection.
See, I appreciate you.
Yeah.
That's what you're supposed to do.
You have to.
Regarding the mail that was just dropped in the middle of the street downtown. This message says, I sent in taxes April 15th with two stamps on the envelope. It was just returned for additional postage yesterday.
Uh-oh.
Took 41 days. Well, and another message says,
maybe we've cut the IRS so much that they won't notice.
This message says, now I know why my bills were all delinquent last month. I'm not kidding. I don't think that's it. Pay your bills.
Blame the Postal Service.
If you can, or go on the run. Works whatever you have time. To. John Hancock, let's do it tomorrow.
Let's do it tomorrow.
That's my boy, John Hancock. I'm Chris Ranji. My other boy, Tom Ackerman, is coming in. The Gas House Gang happens next.
Don't forget to thank this guy.
Oh, yeah. Matt Pajeski, whatever. Yeah, the producer. Anything you missed on the show today, it is right there on the Odyssey app for you.
Yeah, you might want to listen to it again.
I think you should. That's John Hancock. I'm Chris Ranji. The Gas House Gang is next on KMOX.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.